Here we go.
Together?
Yeah, don't change that.
We are a heart-centered spiritual community dedicated to our own personal transformation and living the unlimited possibilities of spirit. One more time. We are a heart-centered spiritual community dedicated to empowering personal transformation and living the unlimited possibilities of spirit. It is a happening. It is a happening. You say namaste.
Namaste.
Light within me, grace for light within you. Namaste.
Namaste.
I'd like you to turn somebody close to you and say namaste.
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 Namaste. Just a thought, as income tax deadline approaches, did you ever notice when you put the two words, the, and IRS together, it spells theirs. Just saying. Just saying. Understanding women from a man's perspective. I know I'm never going to understand a woman. I'll never understand how they can take boiling hot water and pour it over their upper thighs and rip out hair by its roots, and then they're afraid of a spider. Yeah. I used to watch some people look at a woman, look at a spider, and they go, ah, and ran. Oh my gosh. A husband read an article to his wife about how many words women use each day. 30,000 to men's 15,000. The wife smiled and said, well, the reason is because women have to repeat everything they say to men. And then the husband turned to his wife and asked, what? Yeah. I'm being lifted up in this moment. I'm awakening to my inner calling. That's not what it says. That the first one, we better get it right. Put the real one up there. Okay. No, the affirmation. Put the affirmation up there. One more time. That's last week's. I am being lifted up in this moment, and I am awakening to my highest good. Can y'all affirm that with me one more time?
I am being lifted up in this moment, and I am awakening to my highest good.
Well, I can see him standing there, looking at the road that lie before him, thinking, pondering about the ways things would be. What compelled him to do it? You know, it could all have been avoided. All the turmoil, all the suffering, if he would have just left well enough alone. It could have all been avoided if only he would have listened. You know what I'm talking about. You've all heard the stories. Experience similar talks and situations. Most people would have just stopped, and yet he still persisted. They all had warned him. They considered his teachings too radical for their liking, and they were very comfortable with their own beliefs about the way they thought things should be. They didn't need someone to come in and upset their apple cart. Right? And making a bad situation even worse. And still he flaunted their laws, their rituals, while quoting scripture and prophets, sharing very different ideas about what the prophets of old thoughts were about and what was right and what was fair and how the creative spirit worked within them and everyone. He called the righteous and the morally elite hypocrites. Hypocrites, right? Yeah, I can see him standing there looking at the road that lie before him, thinking, pondering the way things might be. Just as we ponder what lie down the road that we travel. Considering all the adversity he knew that lie on that road, what compelled him to do it? Others have faced a similar path and chose to follow in his footsteps. Martin Luther King, Abraham Lincoln, Mahatma Gandhi, my friend John Shelby Swan. People willing to lay down their lives and their careers for something that they believe was right and pure and true and dedicated to spirit's evolution. Choosing to confront beliefs and rules that were out of sync with the way of love and the way of spirit. As a result, they all experienced the moral indignation of those in power and who feared losing it. Many modern day movies speak about what might happen when those in power lose their ability to control others. The Da Vinci Code, Celestine Prophecy, Avatar, Star Wars, Harry Potter, just to name a few. Yeah, the Sanhedrin, the ruling council of the Jews, had warned Jesus not to come to Jerusalem. They had all heard the rumors of his miracles and the signs that he performed, which distressed them even more. How dare he do such things? Healing the sick, feeding the poor and the hungry, raising people from the dead, freeing people from their debts and their sins. By gosh, miracles and signs of the sacred spirit. What would happen if you did such things? The support among the common people was growing day by day. With gaining popularity, they feared that he would overthrow their very comfortable lifestyle and force them out of their roles of influence. Who knew that what Jesus might do next? And they better stop him. So they sent word to him to stay away from Jerusalem, especially during the high holidays. If only he would have listened. Jesus could have returned home to Nazareth, taken up his trade as a carpenter. But he knew what was at stake. The message would be lost. It would mean defeat to the Essenes' very cherished principle of being the way of love by becoming detached, non-resistant, non-judgmental, and practicing forgiveness and always holding the highest goal for all? What crazy kind of stuff is that? What would happen to you if you practice these very different ways of being in your life? Ever been caught in the flux of a situation, wondering which way to go? Driven to achieve your heart's calling, yet trapped by the ways of the mortal mind? Yeah, I can see Jesus standing there looking down the road that lie before him, contemplating what would happen and what must be done. By harnessing his spiritual faculties of strength, spiritual discernment, and love, so that he could move forward. Jesus knew what was at stake. The message that the Infinite One had placed within his heart would be lost. He knew his work had to be done in Jerusalem and had to be done over Passover to allow as many people as possible to hear the good news that the kingdom of heaven was right here, right now, all the time, all around us. And that God loved them. Right? That God loved them. That God loves you. Right? I believe Jesus knew his hour had come. And the only way for him to achieve his life's calling was to spread the word about the creative energy of life. Was to move through the obstacles and move down that road. He could have changed his course at any time. Anytime, and given it into those in power. He could have stayed out of Jerusalem, and he could have left the Garden of Gethsemane when he saw those soldiers coming towards him with their lights flashing off the sky. He could have left. Or he could have said, yeah, and accepted Pilate's offer. Jesus knew the path he must take. And he stayed in the wilderness of Ephraim in prayer and quiet contemplation of his life. His message and his conviction made his dedication to move forward with a focused intent, allowing the creative energy of life to guide his actions. This belief that Jesus chose to follow the road laid out before him to demonstrate the ultimate overcoming, as opposed to being a victim of betrayal, being a victim of our sins, and of that some punishing, vengeful God needed a sacrifice for that original sin, is something that separates unity from the rest of Christianity. It is also a belief that is very freeing and empowering. When we let go of the silent guilt of somehow playing a part in Jesus' crucifixion and our need to suffer as a result of it, we all have that buried in there somewhere. It empowers us to look at the example, he said, and ask the question, how might we follow in his footsteps? Not only in how we might face and even move through challenging situations, but how can we fulfill our life's calling despite what appears to be overwhelming odds? And how just one person can make a huge difference in other people's lives. This past week, I spent a lot of time interviewing ministerial students. A lot of time. Who all had this message placed on their heart and had to see their egos, doubt, and challenges about whether or not they were good enough and worthy enough to follow their heart's calling to share this message that the Divine One had placed on their heart. And to be the way of love in a world that's gone crazy. Yeah, we live in a world that's simply gone crazy. Everybody can say that. Crazy. Crazy. So what did Jesus really do? How did he prepare himself to walk the road to his ultimate overcoming? And once he did that journey, how and what did he do to stay on purpose? He must have had a plan, right? I believe, as a few other people do, the plan began in that time he spent in Ephraim. I can see him standing there, looking at the road, thinking, pondering about the way things would be, praying for guidance to know what to do when the time came, standing in the stillness of his inner room. Standing in the stillness of his inner room. It was a very different process than the way most people pray today. Going to God with this wish list of all the things that they want and how those things must be, what they must look like. But Jesus was standing in the stillness of his inner room in Ephraim. I'm sure Jesus remained open to what was in that moment, saying something like this: Abba, O sacred energy of all life, use me. Direct me in the way I should go. These are the things that I see might happen. What should I do? I'm willing to shine your light, reflecting your love out into the world. I know when times come, you will guide me in what I need to do. Metaphysical interpretation is where every person, place, or thing in the Bible represents a different place within us. It helps us to understand the Bible stories at a deeper level. In other words, this story happens in us anytime that we're confronted by a challenge, right? Ephraim metaphysically represents that place and awareness that succeeds in bringing all the faculties of our being together, all in one place. Yeah, bringing all the different 12 powers that are within them, aligning them with the mind of God, with the living energy flowing, stirring all about us. Then an idea that we have in mind just suddenly seems to merge into our being. We become one with that idea. We can begin to feel its presence and its harmony with it. When this happens, our creative energy increases exponentially. We find the state of consciousness through the unfolding process of prayer and meditation. This creative energy draws upon us a new source, or I should say a different source. Our awareness is changed, and we become aware of a very different source, this Christ field, this living energy field, and that we live, move, and have our being immersed in. We literally become spiritually charged when we pray and meditate in this fashion. The spiritualized energy must be consciously directed, or it's lost. It's like the energy in the battery of your cell phone, right? If you leave your phone off the charger, it loses its energy whether you use it or not. Isn't that crazy? When you find yourself in the state of Ephraim, you find yourself in this creative vortex. So seize the opportunity. Focus the mind and then direct these energies on your divine purpose. Immerse yourself in the idea and allow the vision to come forth. When Jesus emerged from his time of prayer in Ephraim, the whole tenor of his ministry changed. There was this greater intensity, this greater urgency to share his message. And he created a new awareness of this divine purpose and how to achieve it. For example, as Jesus and his disciples approached Jerusalem early on that Sunday morning, they came to Bethpage. At Bethpage, Jesus has his spiritual insights and he listens to the guidance he receives. Bethpage represents that place in our consciousness where grace is realized. Y'all have been to Bethpage, right? Haven't you? You realize that grace? Yeah. The realization of this grace is a result of the struggle in our consciousness. When you turn the conflict over to God and just listen and allow ourselves to be in the moment, illumination comes forth and we gain an insight into what we need to do. Have you ever had a time in your life when Spirit was guiding you in one direction and your humanness, your human nuts, your fears, your ego, your worldly desire pulled you in a completely different direction? You felt as if you were being pulled apart or being run through the process. If you turn the conflict over to God, spiritual insight would just not be far behind. If we could just let go. As Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem early on that Sunday morning, they came to Bethpage. And Jesus has his spiritual insight and he listens to the guidance he received. He tells two disciples to go into the village, and when they find a donkey and her colt, untie them and bring them back. If you were stopped, questioned, just answered, the Lord has need of them. Through spiritual insight, Jesus saw the events of that day unfolding in his mind. Jesus would then ride the donkey towards Jerusalem with the crowds gathering along the road. They would cut branches down off the tree, waving them back and forth and back and forth, and laid them out along the road. As Jesus passed by, they say, "Hosanna to the highest, Son of David." Right? Hosanna, right? Oh my gosh. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Doesn't that just feel great just saying that out loud? Hosanna in the highest. Right? The process ends at the foot of Mount Moriah, where the temple now stood. And the crowd disperses, and Jesus enters into the temple. Jesus chose to ride into the temple in Jerusalem on the humblest beast, a beast that serves the common people. The characteristics of a donkey are meekness, stubbornness, persistency, endurance. Perhaps you might be familiar with some of these characteristics. Metaphysically, to ride these attributes into Jerusalem, into the habitation of peace, is to have them follow Spirit's guidance. This change from personal willfulness to meekness and obedience stirs the whole consciousness. If we open up ourselves to the Christ, we can ride the attributes of meekness and endurance as we take them and arrive to the goal that we seek, and we can do it in safety. How did Jesus prepare himself to walk this road to overcoming? What did he do to stay on purpose? He committed himself to his unique style of prayer. And as he did, he demonstrated a deep awareness of Spirit's presence. And he surrendered his personal ego and listened to Spirit's promptings. Finally, he let go of fear and doubt and trust and simply allowed the way of Spirit to work, knowing that the right people and the right circumstances would be manifested to guide him on his road to overcoming even the greatest of obstacles. Prayer, awareness, listening, surrender, trust. Call them forth, right? Call them forth. That's why we have, one of the reasons why we have our prayer chaplain program, to help people within the ministry to become more and more dedicated to this process of awakening to the Christ potential within them. And as you do this, you will know that God is good all the time, right? You better put that affirmation right there. I am being lifted up in this moment now. And I am awakening to my highest good. Can you all affirm that with me one more time?
I am being lifted up in this moment. And I am awakening to my highest good.
One more time.
I am being lifted up in this moment. And I am awakening to my highest good.
Yay. Yay. Well, I'm right.